Watch this, right? So it says, being let go, they went to their company, verse 24. And when they lifted their voice. Now watch this corrective in the move of the Spirit. Because it's very similar to what the Father is doing in this present day move of God. This time of reformation, this time of restoration. It says, when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, now I want y'all to catch this. Lord, you are God which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Now I want to read that again, because I don't think somebody caught that. Lord, you are God which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Why is that important? Why is that important for them to be opening in their prayer? See, the thing that they understood straight out of the gate is this. The God that they were serving was the God that created the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And somebody is saying to me, Daryl, no, but you might be missing the significance. There's only one God that created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. All the other gods are false gods. And so in our current world, as it was in Rome, as it was back then, as it was in the days of the apostles, there were all kind of gods. There were all kind of gods, right? And it's real easy for us today to talk about God. So, but we're not sure what God people are talking about. You know, it's like we said, you know, oh my God, what God are we talking about, right? You know, and we have all of these different gods. And so the apostles understood the necessity of being able to identify the God that they knew was Lord. Oh Lord, you are God that created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. There is only one God. I gotta say it. There is only one God that created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Now, I want to make another statement. It is the fact that many people within the body have forgotten that reality, that we see a lot of the inroads that we have, even within pulpits, where people do not preach the God that created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, right? Many people have kind of accepted the God of evolution. Many people have accepted a deistic view of God. This is what I mean by deistic view of God. That God created the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that in them is. Then he backed up and he's just allowing the world and creation to flow on its own, right? That's not the God that created the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that in them is. The God that created the heavens, the earth, the sea and all that in them is presently at work in the creation, bringing the creation to its consummation. Does this make sense? Does this make sense? The God that created the heavens and the earth is active in the earth to bring his creation to its ultimate consummation. God just didn't create the heavens and the earth and then back up. Now he's taking this real long sabbatical and things just gonna work out and just go on until time eternity. And so we've kind of embraced a very deistic, humanistic understanding of God, all right? A very deistic and theistic position of God. We need to come back and understand that the God that we serve is the God that created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. So he is identifiable. See, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth his handiwork. So nature itself reveals that there is a God. You understand what I'm saying? And so as believers, as this move of God is happening in the earth today, as this move of God is moving, it's bringing the people of God, you and I, back to an understanding that the God that we serve is not a distant God. He's not a God who is not present. He is not a God who is not in hand. He is not a God who cannot hear. He is the God, yes, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is at work within the creation to bring the creation to its consummation. That's the first thing that happened in this move of God. And it happens in every move of God. And so as there are those in the body today who are beginning to place an emphasis on the God that created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, this is an aspect of the move of God that we're experiencing today. They're just being misunderstood. I could go into more detail, but I won't. That's a conversation for some other time, right? But there's a lot of emphasis on the God that created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. All right, so that's the first thing that happened. Now let's go to verse 25. Then it says this: after they defined and described who God is. Now this is where Happy Sabbath says, this is where it starts getting touchy. Now watch this. They identified the God that they were serving, the God that created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Everybody with me so far? Verse 25, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Now, they've identified the God that they serve. It's the God that created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. But it goes further and it says that spoke through the mouth. I mean, that's Acts chapter 4, verse 25. Acts 4, 25. Who by the mouth of your servant David has said. So not only has God created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all them is, but God is the God that speaks. Are you listening? God is the God that speaks. He speaks to his servants. So in other words, the God that created the heavens and the earth is also the God who has spoken to the fathers in the text about some things. Now y'all stay with me. Y'all stay with me, right? Psalms chapter 2, I'm gonna read a couple verses. Psalms chapter 2, verse 1, and it reads, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Now watch what God says. He that sits in the heavens will laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto my Lord, you are my son. This day have I begotten you. And so I encourage you sometime to go back and read Psalms chapter 2. and just read the whole Psalms. Because remember, this is where we get into the thing. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand. The Lord has said unto me, you are my son. This day have I begotten you. And so here's what this God that created the heavens and the earth has to say. He's talking about the Messiah that is to come. He's talking about his king. He's saying, in essence, why have the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine strange things? So there's something interesting that's taking place here, because the people are imagining vain things, right? The heathen are enraged. The people are imagining a vain thing. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together. Do you remember when I said the body of Christ, the people of God, the community of faith, the ecclesia, we are one, right? There is only one body of Christ. I know people don't believe that, but it's true. There is only one church, all right? And I'm not talking church denomination. I'm not talking church fellowship. I'm talking church people of God. There is only one body. But the reality of the matter is, when things really pan themselves out, now I want you to hear me. I want y'all to really hear me, right? God has a people. The devil has a people. God's people are one. The devil's people are one. God's children are one, but so are the devil's children. God has a strategy. The devil has a strategy. God has an anointed one. The enemy has an anointed one. See, y'all understand what I'm saying? This is what's taking place as we're reading through the book of Acts. We're seeing a clash of kingdoms. We're seeing a great controversy play itself out. We're seeing this tug of war for who's going to rule the world. So the kings of the earth have gathered together. They've assembled themselves together. But what God is doing through his church, what God is saying through his people, is it's time for us to refocus and be remembered about who the God that created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. That what God is it that we serve? We serve the God that created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, because that's the only true God. All other gods are false gods. Y'all stay with me. But now this God, he also speaks, though. He speaks to his servants. He declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet. He calls together his servants and he gives his servants insight into what he's going to do in the earth. This is what the apostles understood. That's why the apostles could grab the writings of the prophets and wreak havoc on the kingdom of darkness. One of the things that God is restoring in this present day move of God is an accurate understanding of what his purpose is. Y'all stay with me now. Verse 27, for of a truth, against your holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Note, let me read it again. For of a truth, against your holy child Jesus, who you have anointed, both Herod, who was a mock king of Israel, right? He's a mock king of Israel, and Pontius Pilate, a representative of Caesar from Rome, with the Gentiles, the non-covenant people, and the people of Israel, apostate Israel, they all gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. Because in the final analysis, beloved, there are two groups of people. There's the saved and the lost. There's those that are born again and those who aren't. There are those who have been converted and those who haven't. There are those who are going to worship Jesus Christ, the image of the invisible God. Y'all do know Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the expressed image of his Father, Hebrews. Jesus is the image of God. There are those that are going to worship the image of God, Jesus, and then there are those that are going to worship the image of the beast, represented by Herod, Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and apostate Israel. There's only two groups of people. We're going to fall down and worship one of the two. I choose to worship the God that created the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. But I digress. For of a truth, against your holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed. All right. Verse 28. For to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. Now get what the apostle is saying here. He says, listen, they're still in prayer. They're still in prayer, right? And he says, this is a move of God now. This is a move of God. They're still in prayer. And he says, now you've gathered them all together to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. Now listen to me. Not only does God reveal in his text what he's going to do, God has already determined what's going to be done. This is what we call prophecy. This is what we call time prophecy. This is what we call the predetermined plan and purpose of God. God has a purpose. God has a plan. I say that all of the time, folks, right? I say it all the time. And God's purpose and God's plan has not changed. God's purpose and God's plan is still the same purpose and still the same plan. See? So the only thing that the enemy can do is what the Father has predetermined he would be allowed to do. This is why there's victory in Jesus. This is why Jesus could say, upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, because the gates of hell cannot prevail against the body of Christ. This is what you need to understand, right? This is why the enemy cannot prevail against your life when you're committed to the plan and the purpose of God. Because the only thing the enemy can do is what has been determined beforehand he would be allowed to do. See? Stay with me. For to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determine before to be done. Uh-huh. Now stay with me now. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Now we're getting ready. It's getting ready to get hot up in here, right? He said, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants. Now, here's where it gets tight. That with all boldness they may speak your word. So what happens in a move of God? What happens in a move of God, and what's happening in this present day move of God, is God is re-emerging as for who he is. He's the God of creation. He's the God of heaven and earth. He's the God and Father, number two, of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the God who declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. In other words, God moves in the prophetic. God moves in the prophetic. God's word is prophetic. God declares what he's going to do, and then he gives his people insight into his activities. That is prophecy. Are you listening to me? That's why I've been dealing with Daniel and the book of Revelation. It's all up in there. It's all up in there. All right. Now, when you move into this arena, when you understand who God is, you understand what God is up to. You understand that Jesus is the center of the story. Verse 27, for of a truth against your holy child, Jesus, whom you have anointed. Jesus is the anointed one. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus must remain central in everything that we do. Jesus must remain central in everything that we believe. Jesus must remain central. Jesus is central to the plan and the purpose of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's not an afterthought. Jesus is not God's kind of like magic talisman that we can call on to get what we want from God. No, the story is about Jesus. It's Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. It's about Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? All right. This is what the apostles understood. This is what the early church understood. This is what every generation, once they opened themselves up to the move of God, began to understand, that God was moving to restore his position in the body, to restore an understanding in his people of who he really is. All right? What his purpose is, and the place that Jesus holds in the midst of the church. Because whenever Jesus is withdrawn from the gospel, we become apostate. Whenever Jesus is withdrawn, or whenever our love for Jesus waxes old, beloved, that's when we become lukewarm. That's what the seven churches of Revelation is all about. All right? Seven churches of Revelation. Now watch this. Now, they said, now, Lord, we want you because we realize. Now, y'all stay with me. Let me paraphrase. He said, Lord, we realize that if we go out and we preach in this stuff, we're going to get in trouble. We're going to get called before the religious courts, right? We're going to get whipped. We're going to get beat. We're going to get stoned. We're going to get mocked. We're going to get ridiculed. Father, if we're preaching this stuff, stay with me. If we're preaching this stuff, we're going to get into a whole bunch of trouble. Now, here's what I'm saying. The move of God that we are in is going to cause many of us to get into a lot of trouble. It's unavoidable. Now, if we're just looking for some kind of move of God that when we go to worship service, all didn't God move, and then we go home and there's been no life transformation, and we're not experiencing that move of God day by day by day, then we really need to question whether or not we're experiencing the move of God, or whether or not we just really got pumped up and had a good motivational message. Because in this move of God, the fire is burning. Hear me, beloved. And this is why I say God's not sending a revival. The revival is here. We just may not be identifying what the revival is doing. We may not understand what God is reordering in this revival. We may not understand what God is reordering in this time of reformation, folks. This is more than just a revival. Revival is to revive, bring back to life that which was dead. That's revival. But when we're talking about reformation, we're talking about God coming in, reordering his people. We're talking about God coming in and reestablishing some things that have been lost. Beloved, God's not sending another move of God. The move of God is here. What my recommendation would be to drop our traditions and accept the move of God. Drop our religiosity and receive afresh the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Drop our religion and receive afresh the anointing of God. Now watch what they did. Watch what they did. Watch this. Watch this. They said, Lord, grant, behold their threatenings, and grant unto your servants that they can speak with boldness. They can speak your word. Grant that your servants can speak your word with boldness. Why is it that when people begin to speak the word of God with boldness, they're accused of being arrogant? Why is it when they speak the word of God with boldness, they're accused of being cocky? Why is it that when women speak the word of God with boldness, they're accused of being unruly? When women speak the word of God with boldness, they're considered to be out of order. When women speak the word of God with boldness, they're accused of being false prophets. When women speak the word of God with boldness, they're accused of being Jezebel. When men speak the word of God with boldness, they're arrogant, they're cocky, they're know-it-alls. Why is that? When the Holy Ghost comes upon people and they speak the word of God with boldness, understand that they are representing the same God who said in Psalms chapter 2, let me read that again for y'all. Because, you know, we have to make sure that we're not building this image of God that is a politically correct Jesus, right? Many people want a politically correct Jesus. They want a Jesus who does not offend. They want a gospel that does not convict. If it's a gospel that does not convict, it's probably not the Holy Ghost. Y'all stay with me. Psalms chapter 2. Watch this. This is what God said. God said, he, verse 4, Psalms 2 and 4, he that sits in the heavens, watch, He that sits in the heavens, exactly. It's no longer politically correct to be Christian in the world. You're absolutely right. This is not a time for believers to think we have to be politically correct. We have to understand that we're called to live countercultural to the world. We have a message to transform the lives of men and women. We have a message. We have a message. We have a message, beloved. We are in reform. We are in revival. God's not sending a revival. I'm just here to tell you. I know it prophesies real good. I know it sounds real spiritual. Oh, beloved, you know, when we get together and God's going to send a revival and God is about to send the greatest move of the Spirit of God. Folk, listen, God is moving now. Okay? God is moving now. God's moving now. He's not going to send. God is moving now. Now, let me say this. Psalm chapter 2, watch. He said, he that sits in the heavens will laugh. The Lord will have them in derision. He will speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Who? Those that gather themselves together against the Lord and against his anointing. This is all I'm saying, right? This is all I'm saying, right? All right, let me keep going because I'll get caught. Now, watch what he does. Watch what God does. He said, I want you to grant unto your servants that they can speak your word with boldness. Now watch. He said, by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. Why should we expect signs, wonders, and miracles to accompany the preaching of the gospel? Because God backs up the reality of what the kingdom of God is. God backs up the reality that the blood of Jesus is more powerful than the sin of Adam. God backs up the reality that when Jesus died, was buried, and raised from the dead, when Jesus resurrected from the dead, he broke the power of sin, sickness, and disease in the people. When Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the reality of the message of the kingdom is that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So God stretches forth his hand to heal, so that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. God isn't sending signs, wonders, and miracles for us to have another signs, wonder, and miracle conference. God wants signs, wonders, and miracles to be demonstrated in the world, because we are called as the people of God to go into the world. He said, go into all the world. He didn't say go into every church, but that's that's what they did in past moves of God, because, you know, the body of Christ needed to understand the signs, wonders, and miracles were for today. So we had to be trained. We had to be developed. We had to be nurtured in signs, wonders, and miracles. And that's pretty much what has taken place over the past 10, 15, 20 years, is we have trained and taught and brought to the understanding of people the reality of signs, wonders, and miracles. The move of God today, however, is saying, take the signs, wonders, and miracles out into the world. I'm going to anoint you with the spirit of boldness. I'm going to allow the spirit of God to come upon you with boldness. I want you to speak my word with boldness. I want you to declare the reality of Jesus with boldness. I want you to declare the prophetic word of God with boldness. I want you to give an understanding of my word and the time that we're in with boldness. Do not be mealy mouth about the time that we are in. Speak the word with boldness. Let the people know that there is still the message. Do not worship the image of the beast. You got to let the folk know that the time is coming. They're going to have to make a decision. Are they going to worship the image of God, or are they going to bow and worship the image of the beast? Are they going to be sealed by the living God, or are they going to be marked by the beast? Speak it with boldness. Speak it with boldness. Don't get mealy mouth. Speak it with boldness. I will back up my word with signs following. Does this make sense? Does this make sense? All right, now let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Now watch. It says, stretch forth your hands to heal. Verse 31. I'm almost done. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. When they had prayed, the place was shaken. Where they were assembled together, watch, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't get mad at the next part. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Note what it didn't say. Now, let me say this. I have a prayer language. I believe in the manifestations of tongues. But here's something that has happened. Because when God moved in previous generations to restore the reality of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, many people, second, third generation, began to package the baptism of the Holy Ghost, attach it to a tongue, and say, this is the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost. No, the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost is that you love Jesus. The evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost is that you walk in power. The evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost is that you're overcoming sin in your life. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. That's the evidence that you're walking in obedience to God. That's the evidence. I know a whole lot of folk speak in tongues and have absolutely no victory in their life. I know many people who speak in tongues and can't bind, they can't bind a headache, more or less bind the devil.
We are.